What a night. Oh, baby, that Monday night slate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Lineup Logic Podcast, NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It's Sean, your host. This is the Tuesday, March 21st show. I am recording late Monday night. Gotta get this one done early. Get it out to you guys. But man, what a night it is. This Monday night slate, absolutely bananas. Really pretty wild to see that Golden State blowout. Really was not expecting that. Terrible game by the second half. Klay goes for a massive 47 fantasy points. In general, the Warriors shoot 15 from 30 from behind the arc and absolutely shoot the lights out of the building. It seems like they're remembering how to shoot the basketball and just taking it to people right now. And Russ, who we thought for sure would be in a great position, goes for 34 fantasy points. I mean, when did we think that Russell Westbrook would score 34 fantasy points? Didn't even see the court in the fourth quarter. Hot mess, man. Of course, the Denver game turns out to be everything it's slated to be. Last minute winner by Harden to get Houston the 1 point W over Denver in what ends up being a 149 or 249 point total. Boston takes Washington all the way down to the wire there. Washington chasing them the whole time, but Boston locks up that one step closer to the two seed. Indiana knocks off Utah. That was pretty wild. Didn't really see that one coming. But a crazy night in the NBA. You know, we got to say shout out to my man Santiago Nogueira. And I know I butchered your last name there, bro. Santi. Santiago, dude, hit 363. With the help of the cheat sheet. And I am really happy that it was. He saw the plays on the cheat sheet, build a really nice balanced lineup around Rudy Gobert and James Harden. Crushed, man. And you know, the nice thing is Santiago, he was talking to me earlier the week. He's like, man, I got to get back in the green. You know, I just had a bad week. You know, I really hope the cheat sheet can help. And jumped in there on the cheat sheet on Patreon, and boom, pays off right away. I'm really happy for you, Santiago. Took down some serious money on only $5 worth of entries, so you know, kind of made the bankroll there, man. That was an awesome thing to see for a listener. So really happy for you guys. So we've got a nice night in the Tuesday night slate, a weird slate to be honest with you. And I brought on Josh Fernandez, DFS Spectre, and Kings Guard, the guys who helped me on the cheat sheet to help me break down the slate. So those guys are going to help me out here on today's pod. But before we go too much further, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so we're still live here, but you know, not looking too bad, to be honest with you. I ended up with, strangely enough, I ended up building around James Harden. So I got kind of lucky. I did not go with Russ, mostly because I found the price kind of restrictive. And I really liked what, I don't know. I just was on Harden. So I went to Harden. I ended up with George Hill, Kemba Walker, kind of as a fill-in. He just kind of fell in there. He didn't do well. He wasn't on my list, but I needed someone and he was there. So wasn't thrilled about it, but it worked. It worked okay. He went for 28. I went Harden, Will Barton, Joe Johnson, Torian Prince were both kind of value traps, but the good thing was there's a lot of people were on them, so that worked out. And then Dario Saric, Rashawn Holmes, of course, the GOAT, and DeAndre Jordan rounding it out there at the end of the night. You know, it could have been more. Dario, man, 27 fantasy points, but he fouled out in the fourth quarter. He was doing really well in the first half, 22 points in the first half, came in the third quarter, got two quick fouls, sat down four fouls, came back, scored five fantasy points. And then he fouled out. So a real bummer there to see that happen for Dario, you know, he was on track and he would have been great in that great down the stretch in that overtime game. But hey, it didn't work out. DeAndre Jordan still churning out here. At just before the half, he's got 13 fantasy points. So not bad. I wish I had kind of stuck to my guns and stayed on my man Rudy Gobert, who I was on all day. But, you know, hey, what are you going to do? I want Jordan, and he's coming through for me. He's pretty low owned, so should be able to take home a little bit of cash tonight, so long as this Clippers-Knicks game doesn't get too far out of hand. So enough about that. Let's go ahead and jump into the Tuesday night slate. Okay, so like I said, it's kind of an interesting slate. We've got more games than we did on Monday night. I believe we have a 7-game slate, but it's interesting. It's kind of ugly, but there's a lot at the same time. I don't really know how to describe it. But first game of the night, we got Chicago at Toronto, 203 total. Toronto favored by 6. Of course, no Dwayne Wade, no Kyle Lowry. Chicago trying to figure out who they are. Toronto trying to get themselves squared away for the playoffs. They've played a couple times this year, and it's been really, really hard to predict, to be completely honest with you. Don't know what you're going to see from these teams tomorrow night. So not the best game, not a very high total, not a lot of pace, should be a lot of defense. Not a great game for fantasy purposes. Not my favorite game of the night. Detroit at Brooklyn, 217 total here. Detroit only favored by 5. Brooklyn playing a little bit better, getting a little bit of a bump at home here. No serious injuries to consider in this one. Of course, Jeremy Lin now back out. Fire up your Detroit Pistons, no question. Phoenix at Miami. We got a Devin Booker questionable tag, so we don't know if Devin Booker's going to play. He's got the ankle, but we also have Deion Waiters out indefinitely right now. So we're going to fire up some Goran Dragic for sure, Tyler Johnson for sure, in a good spot as well. Memphis at New Orleans, 205 total here. New Orleans favored by 3 at home. Very interesting to see New Orleans favored by 3. I guess it's that you can seemingly attack Memphis at the you can seemingly attack Memphis down low these days. There's kind of a spot where they're struggling, honestly. You'd think that they'd be really strong right there, but they're struggling a little bit in that front court. So an interesting spot to attack Memphis, and you know, as a result, New Orleans getting favored by Vegas. Golden State at Dallas. Golden State coming off the back-to-back, just going down to Dallas. 211 total here. Fastest-paced team versus slowest-paced team in the NBA. I don't know. I mean, Golden State only favored by 5. Very interesting. I guess they're really giving Dallas a bump for their defense. But, man, I might hammer that line here, see if I can get some Golden State to cover 5. That doesn't seem like they can't cover that. San Antonio, Minnesota. Minnesota getting home dogs here. San Antonio favored by 5 and a 205 over under. No serious injuries here to consider. I think you got to keep an eye on people getting, as Josh would call it, popped, asked to sit out by Popovich for rest purposes. So we'll keep our eye on that one for sure. And Milwaukee at Portland. Giannis is apparently questionable in this one. Had an ankle coming out of that Golden State game. Hopefully he plays. It would make this probably one of the juicier games of the night. But other than that, really, not a ton of really good games. I like this game if we get Giannis in there. It's going to be definitely, I think that line will move maybe a little bit in favor of Milwaukee. But we'll see. And then the Clippers at the Lakers. Last one of the night here. Clippers on the back-to-back on the home-away game, I guess you could call it, because they're they're at home in the Staples Center. They're not away. I don't know how to say it. But they are obviously favored by 10 here in a 219 over under. So that's all we got. Not a ton of juicy games like we had on Monday night. Not a lot of feature games, but some decent fantasy value for sure. And a slate worth playing. So let's jump into the player breakdown, and we're going to figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, let's jump into the player breakdown here. We've got a special edition of the player breakdown. I have brought on the entire crew tonight to help me break down the Tuesday slate. So I have not only Josh Fern along for the ride, but I also have DFS Spectre, better known as Ryan. Not nearly as cool of a name in real life, I think, Ryan, but, you know, a good solid first name. DFS Kingsguard, Scott, also not as cool as your handle, but Scott is also a solid name. Welcome to the pod, gentlemen.
Happy to be on.
Yeah. So
I gotta say real quick that I think this episode is so awesome that it's a friend of the pod.
It is. This episode itself is a friend of the pod.
It's so meta.
What would I put on in the frame?
Speaking of friend of the pod, we should address friend of the pod, Rashawn Holmes, going 10x. He has, I think he's qualified now on this Monday night as friend of the pod Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's definitely the greatest friend of the pod of all time.
Yeah.
Let's just hope Jaleel stays out.
Where is Jaleel? Why did they even play Jaleel Okafor if Rashawn Holmes was this good the whole time? All right, so gentlemen, beyond the normal tilt and the love of Rashawn Holmes, which is all happening on this Monday night, terrible things happening in the Hawks-Charlotte game. We all suffered in that one. Not taking our own advice to start players like Rudy Gobert and Robert Covington. Let's jump into the Tuesday slate, right? We've got a lot to break down here. It's actually a bigger slate than the Monday slate. So what we'll do first is we'll go through the top tier players on the slate. We'll go through the lock and load segment. We're each going to be breaking down one position. I'm going to take point guards. Shooting guard is going to be Ryan, right?
Yep.
All right. Small forward is going to be Scott. And then Josh is going to take the power forwards there. And then we're going to do a nice special segment that I like to call Centers Roundtable. I couldn't really think of a better name than that. Josh, if you come
I was just going to say, is that okay. What you like? That's what you like to call it, Sean?
I don't. That was pretty bad. But if you think of one, you're the ideas man, you know?
Oh, we call it Centers of the Roundtable and have them all like dressed up as like little kings.
Yeah, that's perfect, actually.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that.
I thought Kings was my thing, though.
You know what? Yeah, that's actually, yeah, that's robbery of his bit.
Hey, I mean, I'll take the plug.
Guys, that was all we did was add an S to my idea, and all of a sudden it's a great idea. So that means that my idea wasn't that bad of an idea.
No, it wasn't.
All right, good. All right, so we'll each point out a center that we really like at different points. All right, so let's start with point guard. I'm going to start at the top of the slate here. At point guard, I think the best high-priced option that you have is Chris Paul. He's 9K. He's got the Lakers. And I don't know if this qualifies as a home game. I guess it's based on what banners they put up. That's pretty much, or if they turn the lights on, then it's a Clippers game. If it's not, then it's a Lakers game. I don't know. But anyway, it's obviously going to be a pace up game for them. 27th DVP to the point guard are the Lakers. And then at 9K, Chris Paul, he needs 45 to hit value. He only played him once this year, but he did nail 45 fantasy points on the head in that matchup. The other one he sat out was when he was injured in December. You know, this is a high price. This is a really high price to pay for Chris Paul on this slate. You know, his range right now is just incredible. He's had 50 against Utah, but then, you know, he goes and he scores 18 or 20 against the Cavs, right, in that blowout game. So I don't know that I want to get to Chris Paul at 9K, but he's averaged 34 points in the last five games. You know, this is a double-digit spread. It's an excellent matchup, though. You know, he scored 42 in limited minutes against the Nuggets, who are very similar in DVP to the Lakers. They're allowing 23.6 rebounds and the highest assist rate to point guards on the slate, over 10 assists, which for a guy who likes to drop dimes like Chris Paul, I think that's a pretty nice peripheral to target. So I think the advantage that you would get with Chris Paul is like a low-owned late hammer in this situation. But at this price, you know, with the rest of the slate, there's a lot of other point guard choices. A couple friends of the pod specifically that I'm going to talk about during the grout section that are in really good positions. And I don't know necessarily that you need to go to a 9K Chris Paul here in this spot. What do you guys think of Chris Paul against the Lakers tomorrow night?
Who wants to take it?
Josh, you go first.
Okay. Yeah. Chris Paul against the Lakers, I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to it completely. I mean, I know that the Clippers are definitely, you know, trying to win games right now. They're jockeying for position in the West, and that's kind of my rationale behind, spoiler alert, my pick at power forward for the stud. But yeah, they're definitely trying to win games. I don't think they're going to be resting CP3. There is some risk involved. I mean, the Clippers are obviously a better team. I like it. You know, it's not like the greatest pick in the world. Like tomorrow night when you're building your roster, he may not be like the guy that you immediately are drawn to. But right now, you know, Monday night. Right now it's an obvious play. I mean, Chris Paul against the Lakers, what more do you want?
Yeah, I hear that.
And I'll also step in real quick just on Paul. You know, I'm a big believer in the narratives, and I think the Battle of Los Angeles is going to get both sides really playing well tomorrow.
That's a good call. Yeah, I wonder what is – maybe we'll have to look up, like, just career against the Lakers. The kind of, like, own the Staples Center effect. That might be interesting. All right, let's go on to shooting guard. Ryan.
Oh, I have one thing to say about point guard real quick, guys. Oh, I was going to say, I'm honestly completely – like, when I first looked at this slate, I was immediately first of all, I should probably specify that I do play more GPP than cash games generally, but – but I manage like my bankroll essentially the same way that you guys do. And I enter enough cash games to make up what I enter in GPPs on a given night. But I was immediately like, I honestly might play both Dragic and Tyler Johnson at the Suns, because they've both kind of been heating up. No pun. I mean, well, I guess I'll just say there's a pun intended, because that makes me sound smarter. They're both, I'm super tempted by both of them, and like everybody around them. Like, I like Ulis still because of his price is still kind of not high enough. And I heard that D'Angelo and Jordan Clarkson were scrimmaging with all the starters today at practice, which is cool from the other half of that LA game. But okay. As far as point guard went, I was immediately super intrigued by both Dragic and Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, well, I'm going to definitely hit on Dragic when we get down into the grout here. I love Dragic as well. So I feel like you're right. Like, you don't really have to go to a 9K CP3. All right, let's take a look at shooting guard. Top price shooting guard on the slate here. Ryan, what do you think, man?
All right. Up at shooting guard, I personally won't be paying up at shooting guard, but I do like DeMar DeRozan tomorrow. I know that Chicago's not great at forwards in general, and DeRozan's been there's got to be like a serious regression at some point here, because he's just, I mean, I don't even know what is happening, but I like that that he's I think could be slept on tomorrow in light of all the value at shooting guard, but I like did you guys see Denzel Valentine? Like, there's guys down there at shooting guard and like Wayne Ellington with waiters out and everything of that. I personally won't be paying up, but I do like DeRozan, and I'm sure that I will run him out here and there tomorrow. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that I'm kind of like you, Ryan. You know, I rarely ever am like heavy on cash games. I just manage the bankroll very diligently and play very lightly, like 90% of the time. And I'm a GPP guy as well. And I love DeMar DeRozan in GPPs, you know, as like a lately, unfortunately, like as a dart throw. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's been stinking up the joint lately. You know, when Kyle Lowry went down, he was like a lock and load usage freak. And now he's just not doing shit.
Yeah,
he's been terrible lately. But like, you know, when you're in a GPP, you know, while others are paying up at, you know, position X, you want to pay up at position Y and differentiate yourself. And he's always got a 50 spot in his back pocket. He really does.
Yeah, I think that you're right that regression is also real. And I'm not really scared by wing defenders in Chicago right now. You know, I think the one thing we got to keep an eye on is there is a good possibility that they'll switch Jimmy on to him, in which case, you know, Jimmy could take DeRozan out of the game and basically say to the rest of the Raptors, okay, the other four of you beat us, which could limit his effectiveness. But the regression is coming, and, like, we really need to keep an eye on the Raptors' schedule because it's going to happen here soon. So I like that call. Keep our eye on DeMar DeRozan. All right, small forward, let's jump in. Top of the slate here. What do we got at small forward, Scott?
Well, looking at the studs, it's kind of between Butler and Kawhi, and I kind of like Kawhi in any situation where I view him as maybe low-owned. That's usually when he puts out the big 60-point night and nobody has him and everyone is wondering why they didn't pick him. There's not many great matchups available at the small forward position at the top of the value chart, so to speak. But between the two, I mean, I'll take Kawhi against the young Minnesota team over Jimmy Butler in Toronto. I think he would be the play if you're paying up. You know, it might be theme of the pod. I don't know if I'm going to be paying up for this guy at this price. There's lots of mid-range value, but of the two that are up there, I'd definitely go Kawhi.
Yeah, I don't think that Andrew Wiggins on Kawhi really scares me at all.
No.
Yeah, and that's a good call about Kawhi is, you know, he's kind of like I don't want to say he's volatile, but he's volatile. you know, there was that really amazing stretch at the end of February, or I guess maybe the beginning of March, where he was just going for like 50, 60 points for like five straight games. But for the most part, like, you know, he's kind of like a 35 to 45 point kind of guy because he's getting popped all the time. And then for those listeners that don't know what I'm saying, you know, Greg Popovich loves to pull the starters when the Spurs are up, you know, entering the fourth quarter. You know, that's one thing you got to risk with Kawhi. But every, you know, what, seven games or so, he'll go nuts and score 60 fantasy points. He's always got that potential. And I agree with you. Minnesota is a far more attractive matchup for him than Toronto, a veteran wing defender core, is for Jimmy.
Yeah, and last time against Minnesota was on March 4th when Kawhi put up 66.5. So now that I see that, I'm a little more confident in that Kawhi play.
Are you kidding me?
You went for 66 against Minnesota?
Yeah. 43 minutes, though. But, you know, if you take, say, you take 10 minutes off of that and you take 10 points off of that, we can say, you know, just for shits and giggles, say 34 minutes, 56 points.
I'd still be very happy.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, what, 1.7 points per minute or something. It's like super elite.
Well, and you have to consider the combination of PJ Tucker and Damari Carroll just mobbing Jimmy Butler. You know, I mean, I think the combination, like, that's a real defensive tandem, and they could really do some damage. And Jimmy just may, you know, what did we say that we weren't really sure how Jimmy was going to approach these games lately? He might just sit down on the court and just kind of cry a little bit.
Yeah, I thought he was tanking for a while.
He personally is tanking to get himself straight. Garpax won't do it for him, so he's going to do it. Exactly. Yeah, that's
now all of a sudden, like, Rajon Rondo is becoming the model citizen.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, what the hell?
Guarantee there's a press conference in Chicago at the end of the season. And be like, we're going to build our franchise around Rajon Rondo.
yeah.
God, what a disaster they are. All right. Let's go to
They'll be back soon, Sean.
What's that?
They'll be back soon. Give them a couple years. They'll be back soon.
Give them a decade. All right, Vern, go power forward for us here, brother.
Yeah, man. You got a duo up there. You got Brow and you got Blake. You know, I look at Brow and I'm really tempted because Memphis is not I believe I said it in the Saturday episode. Memphis is still perceived as this elite defensive team, but if you really dig down deep, well, you don't really have to dig down that deep. If you just dig down and look at the DVP situation, I mean, they are getting beat by guards and, you know, periodically, you know, you can get a big that can beat them. And Anthony Davis can beat anybody. You know, he's got that potential. But I look at the matchup that Blake Griffin is drawing tomorrow night at, well, I say at LA, you know, he's at his own arena. So I guess, yeah, like you said, the banners are going to come down for the Lakers and he's going to suddenly like feel like he's in a road game. I don't know, but you know, you just have to love that matchup for Blake Griffin. So because we're recording when we are, you know, late Monday night, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to get a handle on, you know, the Vegas odds and the injuries and the rest situation. But assuming Blake does play in this one, I don't see why he wouldn't, because the Clippers, again, you know, I said it earlier with the Chris Paul segment, he needs to win. They need to win games. I mean, they're jockeying for position. They don't have anything locked up. You know, the West is competitive and there's a lot of time left. And this is a game they need to win. You know, they should not be losing to the Lakers. You know, last night I was shocked by how the Lakers hung with the Cavs that whole game. And then they just kind of blew it at the end there. But, you know, for all, you know, intents and purposes, I mean, the Clippers are going to come out and dominate them, I think. And it's going to be on the shoulders, hopefully, of Blake Griffin. Now, again, let me say, okay, we're recording Thursday night. So if you're listening, you might be thinking I'm a crazy person because Blake could be, like, out for the season with, like, a torn ACL.
Josh, we're not going to think he's a crazy person because of the ACL, but we might think it's crazy because you just said we're recording Thursday night. So people may think
that. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but
we've time traveled.
I'm like so ingrained in my brain right
How
now.
How much beer did you buy?
I have had two. They're called Fordham Crash Zone India Pale Lagers, not IPAs, IPLs.
Some IPLs are great.
Yeah, yeah, they're good. I'm not much of an IPL drinker, but I like it. 7.5% on an empty stomach, so this is rock and roll, baby.
That's great value.
Yeah, that is great value. This is like easily 8x value beer right now.
All right, Blake.
Look, but yeah, let me just wrap this Blake thing up here. I love him in this game. We just saw what Kevin Love and LeBron James did to the Lakers front court. The Lakers front court physically cannot hang with players like that. You know, those are some grown-ass men, you know, Kevin Love and LeBron James. And you got Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle and Ivica Zubac, who is like 12 years old. I mean, they're not going to hang with DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. And, you know, I know he's been in a funk as of late. He's not really putting up 9K player outings. They're kind of like those 7K player outings. But this is the team for him to get right against. We saw him put up 60 against a weak front court in Charlotte. And in a pace-up game, playing in front of his home crowd, right? At the Staples Center, the situation is they need to get wins. I love him, but mainly as a GPP play because we probably won't be seeing him heavily owned. But there are some cheaper plays down low for your cash game rosters. So, you know, Blake, I like him, but stick with GPP if you're risk averse.
I like that call. I think that's smart. All right, let's go into the fantasy grout. We're talking mid-price guys here in the 5 to 8K range. You know, we'll try to give you guys two decent options here, somewhere, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8K. I'm going to start it off with point guard. And Josh, I'm really, really, really happy about this. I'm just going to come right out and say this. These are two friends of the podcast that I get to talk about who are in excellent matchups.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on, hold on. Did they move Solomon Hill to point guard?
They did. No.
Okay.
But we do have a chance to play we do have a chance to play Solomon Hill, however.
Nice.
New Orleans is on this slate. All right, but the first one is Goran Dragic. I love playing the Dragon. He's 8-2. He's going to Phoenix. He's going back to where it all started. As we know, Dragic was first played in Phoenix. You know, this is where the all-star caliber career began for this young man. But the Phoenix is just as bad as the Lakers right now against the point guard. They're allowing 41 fantasy points to the position. Goran has a team-high usage rate of 30% with no Waiters, who we know is now out indefinitely with the ankle. So I like the matchup quite a bit. I like his usage rate quite a bit. I don't really see any problem with Goran hitting 40 points in this. He scored over 40 in 2+ matchups in the last 5. Once was against New Orleans, who is the opponent of my second grout point guard, our other friend of the podcast, Mike Conley, none other than Mike Conley, who's going to New Orleans. Dude has been out of his mind lately. 6 of the last 11 games. I know that's not really a baseline metric for a lot of people, but 6 of the last... How many in his last 11 games has he scored well, Sean? Well, 6 of them. He's had over 45 fantasy points. That's insane. Like, and then, okay, the other 5, he had one game that was 22 that's kind of depressing his price, but the other 5, he was in the 30s and low 40s. So Mike Conley at 8-2 playing out of his mind against New Orleans. New Orleans bottom 5 in DVP. They're actually slightly worse than the Lakers right now in DVP to the point guard. So give me some Mike Conley going up against Jrue Holiday here. Love this spot for both of these guys. Especially if you compare them to like Chris Paul's price. I mean, I know that you're going to want to get some of this action, Josh.
Yeah, man, definitely. Definitely. I like that a lot. I would like to know what Ryan and Scott think, because I've been yapping my mouth for quite some time.
All right. I'm kind of like, sorry, I went on the little like grout rant when you guys were talking about studs, but I think I'm fully in on Dragic in the point guard situation. Conley, I like Rubio. I'm just kind of because he's sort of been on kind of a tear recently and just right. They still have him priced as if he's going to just hit 35 points every night. But I know in certain situations he could hit 55 points. And I believe at least one of the last few times at the Spurs, I think he really went the fuck off. And he just, I have a lot of more confidence in him, and I feel a lot more comfortable with him right now, given what he's been doing recently. So I would say that it's pretty likely that tomorrow I'll have, I think my core point guards will probably be Dragic and Rubio. But I probably will have a couple of GPP lineups that have both Dragic and Tyler Johnson, which is still what I'll rant about randomly and interrupt you guys throughout the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Sorry to cut you off, but you know, especially Rubio. I love me some Ricky Rubio at 7,500. I just don't think he's priced right. And every day you look, he's putting up 30 spots, and that cost is just so nice. So the Goran Rubio stack is going to be probably pretty chalky due to their cost and the fact that there's no GOAT, so to speak, at the point guard position. I mean, Curry's great, but like, what has he really been doing this year? But I mean, I like the Goran Rubio, Mike Conley, friend of the pod, obviously.
I want to quickly point out the Curry versus Curry narrative, which is, I believe, happening tomorrow.
That's a good point.
And that's a thing that they just laugh the whole time and kind of just like take like shoot threes, which, you know, I mean, so it's kind of like, it could be a 3-point shootout. I don't know, but it could be both hysterical and actually high scoring shootout between the two of them.
Yeah. Rick Carlisle is going to throw a chair at someone.
probably. Yes.
I just want to know when the Miles Plumlee, Marshall Plumlee, Mason Plumlee showdown is going to happen.
The most clumsy shootout ever. Just
the whitest, arms, dorkiest, clumsiest thing ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have to talk to, I think we'll have to talk to Commissioner Silver to have the three-way Plumlee game. let's talk value, or excuse me, the mid-tier at the shooting guard position here.
All right. If I am in this area, reiterating the Curry thing, that I really like Seth Curry a lot at Golden State, because I don't think there's anything he wants to do more than show up Steph. So that's purely narrative, but that's like a real one, brother on brother. Like, my God, the potential. I also am a big fan of KCP at Brooklyn. He has the potential to have absurd games, and he has the potential to have absolutely disgusting games. But I think at Brooklyn that there's not too much that I'm concerned about. I guess that's all I really like in that area. Devin Booker's questionable, so no matter what, I'm kind of off of him. I like Clay, but at Dallas, I'm just not too into it. And McCollum, so for some reason, I'm just kind of ignoring him. Could be a bad idea, but as of right now, I'm not super huge on McCollum. I'd rather grab someone, probably a forward, maybe you know, like Harkless or Evan Turner's been sort of waking back up again after being hurt for a little while.
Oh, Harkless.
He had so much promise for like 4 days.
Yeah.
We were riding the Harkless train for a long time, guys, and it was bound to derail. There were some good games, though. Remember those days when Harkless was going 7x? Just don't forget those memories.
Like, I mean, and I guarantee you, I could ask any of you, what was his price like every single slate for like 2 weeks straight?
$4,500, $4,400.
Yep. He was on the big team that took down that GPP. So he has a little special place in my heart, but I mean, it's still so hard to play hard.
You were super on him that night.
I was telling people not to fall into the trap, and then I played him, so it kind of worked out well. Awesome.
I got to say, though, like yesterday I was saying on Twitter that I thought that the winning GPP for the – just like the $1 – what is it? What is the $1 GPP called?
The dribbler.
The dribbler, I said it was going to be two – low price shooting guards, and it was Buddy Hield and someone else, Joshy Richardson, I think. Yeah, I think that's going to be the case again in this coming slate. It just there's some nice plays up here, but man, like, there's so much value at shooting guard.
There is.
And yeah, I obviously don't want to take your fire away, Ryan.
Oh no, you can have as much of my fire as you want,
man. Thank you. That's nice of you, dude.
Let's talk.
And before you say small forward, I'm going to go get a beer. So don't ask me any questions. I'll be right back.
Wait, me too. I'm going to go get a beer too. Hold on, I'll be right back.
All right, go.
All right, so I'll just take over. Yeah, I'll take over the small forward while they're re-upping on Frosty One. So I decided to take small forward, thinking it would be a good position to analyze. And then when I look at this mid-range, I get my three least favorite small forwards to put on teams. You get TJ Warren, many of 19-point games, low-scoring games when Tucker was around, so he kind of have a little bit of scared Scott in the back of my head whenever I play Warren, but he's definitely going to be my pick for this slate. Looking at his stats recently, I mean, he hasn't gone below 30 minutes on the court in the past 8 games. And he, if you're looking at like a floor since February 15th, he hasn't dipped down below 20 FanDuel points and has a ceiling of 41.3 FanDuel points over that time. So he might not go for a full 60-point huge game, but he has kind of recently been the model of consistency. And, I mean, at that price makes him a good start for me. And then you're looking at, you know, 20-point Barnes and Chris Middleton in one of the worst DVP matchups against a small forward. So, I mean, I'm definitely playing Warren. I may have to go down to the value for my second small forward, but if I were to pick between Middleton and Barnes for a second mid-range, I'd still probably go Middleton because I don't know if Barnes can score more than 29 FanDuel points ever in his life.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Well, now, come on. Barnes revenge game. This is Harrison Barnes revenge narrative.
Revenge, you know? Narrative.
The Barnes fire.
That's true.
Harrison Barnes revenge game. And you know, I don't know, Chris Middleton, I don't know what to make of Chris Middleton, man. His price skyrocketed, and, you know, the last decent game, he keeps just kind of topping out at 30 and then sputtering, you know, like, you haven't really seen much ceiling from him. You know, he had 32 against the Lakers, which was great, but that was the Lakers. He really were looking for 40. So yeah, I don't
you
know if
what I gotta say, and I there needs to be some, like, if there probably is out there, we just don't know about it, or maybe you guys do. There's got to be some like way to measure the consistency of players across each quarter, because mm-hmm. the biggest tease is when you look at your phone, you know, at like 7:45 Eastern time after the 7 o'clock tip off. And you got a bunch of guys that are at, like, you know, 12 points after the first quarter. And you're like, oh, my God, here we go. We're ready to go. And then they all finish the game with, like, 30 or, like, 25, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me the other night. Everyone was at in the teens after the first quarter. And then we're middle of the third. And I think only one of them was over 20.
So. Yeah. Like, who are the guys? I just want to know, because that's exactly, you know, the case with Harrison Barnes, is he starts off, like many, so hot. And then, like, what the hell happens for the last, like, 30 minutes of the game?
Yeah, I have no idea. I had this problem with Elfrid Payton the other night in the Suns game. But
oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that.
Don't get me started. Don't even get me started. All
don't
right, Josh.
Don't even get me started. No, I mean, I was like at the top of the $10 dime single entry with Ulis, Elf, and Aaron Gordon. And they proceeded to score like a combined like 10 points in the fourth quarter. It was so tilting.
I'm starting to develop like a weird like distaste for Aaron Gordon for some reason, because I feel like the past like 3 times I've played him, it's been just like a dull thud, and then I move on. But usually, I mean, my God, like he was so reliable for a little while, but recently I haven't been able to find it in me to roster him.
I think you can't start him with Vucevic in the lineup.
No, it's ridiculous.
Definitely not, and it's when you don't play Aaron Gordon. That's exactly when he goes off for a 40 spot.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, speaking of that, Scott. Gosh,
good transition.
Yeah. Perfect segue to this crazy neck-tattooed son of a bitch, who I love because he's definitely helped me out several times this season, and that's Dr. James Johnson, attorney at law. And Tobias Harris to a lesser degree. But James Johnson, let me talk about some James Johnson here. First of all, James Johnson of the Miami Heat, your Miami Heat, 6,400 taking on Phoenix at home. I mean, this one kind of stings because I was so high on James Johnson all day yesterday. And I just, you know, I got that last minute cutesy lineup tweaking bullshit, and I decided, let me stick with Julius Randle, drop to Gorgui Dieng, And I want to fit in Paul George. I want to fit Paul George in with LeBron James. I'm going to score over 100 points combined. It's going to be beautiful. Right? And, of course, Paul George stinks up the joint. And Johnson goes for 47, almost 8X. And, yeah, so that really stung. And it just sucks because he had an amazing DVP matchup, and Dion Waiters is out. Well, guess what? Dion Waiters is still out, and he's got an amazing DVP matchup. So I'm not going to get fooled again. I am locking in James Johnson 21 hours ahead of time. He is getting Phoenix at home.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, no Dion Waiters, getting Phoenix at home, needs to win games as the season's winding down. The Heat are jockeying for position in the East. Johnson's second on the Heat in usage behind Goran Dragic without Waiters on the court at almost 29% or about 29%, which is borderline elite. I mean, that 29% usage is like what some top point guards get. I mean, and he's a legit scorer, too. He can shoot mid-range. He can shoot three balls. He can rebound. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's definitely capable of taking on Marquise Chris, who is about 6'10" and like 12 pounds. So, look, Miami needs to win. He needs to step up his game and be like, I look at him essentially as like their big three, you know, with him, Whiteside, and Dragic. And then, of course, Tyler Johnson is a great six man. But Miami's going to lean on him. And in this game, I think they're going to lean on him hard, you know. And, you know, yeah, he's coming off the bench. But, you know, does anybody think that he's not the go-to at power forward? No, nobody thinks that. So I love James Johnson very, very much. And I'm not going to be stupid and get cute and get off of him. As for Tobias Harris, he's $1,000 cheaper. This is going to take me 15 seconds. High usage player, legit scorer, fills up the stat sheet, pace up game, Brooklyn. Okay, yeah. Moving on.
That was like 4 seconds.
Yeah, that was really, those were all really good points. Very good call.
Very valid, yes. Dude,
James Johnson is one of my favorite fantasy assets in the world. And you know what he does? He does these amazing stretch runs where he scores like 30, 30, 30, 40, and then he'll go and he'll score like 22, 21, 18. And his price will drop back down, and then he'll be like 30, 30, 40. It's amazing. It's the best. James Johnson all day. I'm locking him in, too.
Yeah, I'm on that, too.
As am I.
All right. This is a cool feature. This is where we're going to the center roundtable, talking about our favorite centers each. We've gotten through the grout. We've gotten through the, we've gotten through the player pool here, right? We know who we want to roster.
Well, no, we didn't do the bargain basement yet.
Oh, we didn't do value yet.
Oh, you want to go value first, or we want to go center round?
We can do center round table first.
I don't care. Yeah, that sounds fine.
I got scared there because I thought we were like screwed.
No. Let's go down to Filene's basement here and find some values.
That's a very old fashioned sentence.
Very, very northeasternly thing of me to say. My aunts would have understood that very well. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's look at what we got down here, because there are a couple good options here at point guard, and it starts with Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith, both just priced unbelievably well for a matchup with Brooklyn. I mean, they've been kind of trading minutes. You know, Reggie gets 25, 26, and Ish will get 21 or 20, whatever the case may be, kind of split down the middle, but their prices reflect that. The nice thing is that you can kind of take 5X from either one of these guys in this matchup and just kind of move on. I think, you know, I don't know how to read Jeff Van Gundy's creepy looking mind, but I would think that, you know, Reggie's going to get the start. He should probably get some good run here. And he has he has massive scoring upside. The dude can get to the bucket if he wants to. So Reggie Jackson at 5'2 should be pretty chalky. I think people will lock him in tomorrow night because we know he has 35-point upside. You know, I definitely see a lot of people interested in that price as well. Other than that, there's not a lot that I love down at point guard beyond them. I could talk myself into some Tyler Ulis for sure, but Miami as a team defense is pretty solid. So I think I'd even rather go down to maybe Tyler Johnson, hopefully picking up some solid bench usage in the second against the second unit of Phoenix. You know, I think that that's about it for me. You know, J.J. Barea has been playing really, really well, but against Golden State, I don't really know how much I want of J.J., old man J.J. Barea, against Golden State. So I think that I'm going to just kind of pump the brakes right there and keep it simple and go with Reggie and Ish Smith against the, what are they, the Brooklyn Nets. That's who it is. What about,
I feel most nights you can say you'll start anyone against the Brooklyn Nets. It's that kind of year for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No question. All right. Talk to us about shooting guard here.
All right. Real quick about point guard. I just – J.J. Barea yesterday was essentially the reason for that that mini shot takedown and the solid finish in those early slate GPPs. And he's – I think there's a reason that FanDuel, I mean, I know it's not, I'm not going to make assumptions, but, or try to predict the future, but he, which is what we're doing. But if, they pumped him, you know, 500, 400 bucks up above Yogi now, he got minutes. He went from in the past, let's see, since he's been back six games, 14, 16, 17, 20, 17, and then 27. And he's got a day of rest. I can't imagine they're not going to just run him at Golden State. I mean, I know it's not the greatest matchup, but he is like the most productive motherfucker in the time that he's on the court. Like 27 minutes last game, 33.7 points, 17 minutes, 15 points, 20 minutes, 27 points. It's like the points wow. almost always are always out score the minutes, for lack of a better way to say that. And he's just definitely a maybe could be slept on sort of asset, down way down at 4,900. That's definitely where my attention quickly, jumped to at point guard.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I actually like that a lot, because first of all, like Dallas, they are still in the playoff hunt. They are three games behind Denver for the eighth seed. And I am 100% certain, 110% certain that Carlisle would rather go with Barea leading the team from the point than Yogi Ferrell. I think that any person that knows basketball knows that J.J. Barea, you know, as unassuming as he is to the untrained eye, is a legitimate facilitating point guard who can go on elite runs. And if you remember from early in the season, not to mention, you know, in many years past, I mean, he can be, I don't want to say he can be as good as anyone, but he can play, he plays like a 7 or 8K player. I mean, and sustained,
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
You know, so he's legit, and that's a great call.
This is a legitimate thing. I think honestly today, like being, you know, today being Tuesday, might be the last chance that you get to play him before people start remembering that he's a thing. Cause he's been gone for so long that it really, like, even I was like, what? Oh, he's back. Oh, that's interesting. What did he like? And I had to like kind of look up and be like, oh wow. Early on, he was like, when he's on the court, both for actual basketball and fantasy purposes, he is productive as hell while he's playing minutes. So like, it's a weird thing where there's, if you look early in the season, you can actually see his fantasy points actually more frequently out. I keep saying this, but his fantasy points are above what the minutes he plays. Almost, I would say it's more than half, 50-50. And he's just, you know, it's all areas of the point guard position. And he, I know it just feels like they're going to run him tomorrow. Especially in such a ridiculous matchup, and like Josh said, they're still in the playoff contention. So it's definitely a very tempting play.
Good call. All right, let's talk value at shooting guard.
Let's see here. All right. So initially, I know that in Chicago, there, you know, I mean, obviously there's no race here, and Denzel Valentine had a fit the last game. And it was someone that I was kind of eyeballing, and he's just like, I had him, I think, on our cheat sheet the last time they played, and then I moved him for who knows what. But as I'm looking at, so I think that Denzel Valentine is a great option, especially GPP wise. But I really can't stop looking at the fact that Wesley Matthews is priced at 4,500, which is not, shouldn't be a thing ever. And even in the last game, he put up 25 points, which is over the value at that price. And against Golden State, I always think about players kind of like mindset when they go up against teams with, you know, guys like Curry and Dre and Clay, and just like the it kind of like, you know, prompts them to put a little more like oomph into the whole process. And Wesley Matthews being way down there at 4,500 is incredibly tempting. And it's kind of odd that I am thinking so positively about Mavericks with like Wesley Matthews, Steph Curry, or Seth Curry, and JJ Barea. Like it's possible that I would roster all three of them in that matchup because of the circumstances surrounding each one. Aside from that, I have some interest in JJ Redick at the Lakers. And my favorite person of all time, who is still priced at the most meager 3,900, Tim Frazier, who was an absolute dinosaur for like the first, oh God, what was it, like 2 months ago? And he was putting up like, I think he was priced at like almost seven grand on FanDuel for a little while. I mean, he was like just an absolute monster. And then right below him, same price, Wayne Ellington with Waiters absent at such a low price is a super viable choice, especially at the Suns, which is borderline obnoxious. Jordan Crawford also still an option way down at 3,600, and Alan Crabb I also have mild interest in. But those are my super value shooting guards. I know I don't like playing a Crabb either, but... that's where I sit on that. I'd like to hear what you guys have to think.
Can we talk about one of my favorite bucket getters of all time, NBA? Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, there he is.
If he just got more, like, more consistent run, or I even...
His minutes are coming back. His minutes are coming back.
They're about to tip off, and it's his birthday today, and I got him in the late night slate as my shooting guard too, and I have high hopes for that gentleman.
You should. He's a gentleman and a scholar.
I think he's going to pull a Solomon Hill and go for 50.
Well, my Solomon Hill is going to be a DeAndre Jordan owned at 7% right now. So that's
good. Yeah, baby. He's going to go for 60 tonight, guaranteed.
Dude, let's go, DJ.
Yeah,
DJ, I'd be fine with that.
Maybe not 60, but you know, I I'm gonna call it right now. It's 10:33 p.m. Eastern time. DeAndre Jordan, 48 points.
Do you know where your DJ is?
All right,
that's a good question.
This Filene's basement, and we're getting lost. Can we go back to small forward here? Small forward, yeah, we got it value. Get us back on track here, Scott.
Solomon Hill, moving on.
I'll bring us back on track with the guy who I feel like I play every day and always has good matchups, and Brandon Ingram. I mean, 45K, that'd be quite expensive. 4,500. I feel like that's about as high as I would want to really pay for Ingram, and I know Basement is 45 under 45, but I had to throw him in there because Los Angeles is just awful, being the Clippers, at defending the small forward, and they're actually like the fourth worst in average FanDuel points per game versus the small forward position. So I think Ingram's a great play. Looking a little bit further down, RHJ, a little Rondae Hollis Jefferson. I mean, whether Booker's in or not, at 45, I could still play him in this matchup against Detroit, since Detroit's another team that's not fantastic against the small forward. He's kind of a boomer bust, more of a lottery ticket scratch off situation. You know, Harkless. No, I can't play Harkless, but Shabazz seems to be heating up. He's been getting a lot of play. And, like, I watched the game yesterday versus New Orleans, and I felt like every time I looked at the TV, like, Shabazz was Muhammading, and it was awesome. So I think I could go there. And lower than that, I mean, Jonathan Simmons maybe, but, like, who knows?
I like Vince Carter, too. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah,
I'm going to say this. I'm looking at some minutes projections for tomorrow, and they've got Trevor Booker at 15 minutes projected. And I have no idea, but my guess is that whoever made that minutes projection, it's on Fantasy Labs, that they're thinking that RHJ is taking hold of that job. And if you look at DVP for power forwards for Brooklyn against Detroit, Detroit has been horrific over the last 5 and 10 game time frames. For the season, they are above average against power forwards, but recently they are extremely bad against power forwards. That might have something to do with Tobias Harris becoming like the go-to power forward there, doesn't particularly play as much defense as John Luehr does. So I think that RHJ as a small forward eligible power forward is extremely viable.
Yeah, and Detroit's really not good against the small forward either. So, you know, whether you want to, you know, put him in on, as a power forward, because we know he plays some power forward during the game, or if you look at, you know, small forward, which is where he's listed, the Pistons are not great at either spot. So I think he could be a sneaky snart.
Super sneaky snart.
All right, Fern, fire away, power forward.
All right. Power forward. Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. Like right now, it's kind of hard to tell what to make of the bargain options at power forward. You know, like these late night day before recordings, sometimes you just need to admit that you can't really tell what's cooking. And you got to wait to see how things transpire, in the morning shoot around and as the afternoon news comes out from the beat writers and whatnot. But I will say this. It looks like right now, DVP-wise, we're going to be hard-pressed to find any value plays, drawing any great matchups. I do like to look at the opening lines. And right now, the Portland and Milwaukee, Memphis, New Orleans game should be close. I could be wrong. You know, but those games. Say it again.
That game will be very close.
Which one?
Portland, Milwaukee. I mean, I don't know who guards Giannis, man. I think Giannis could get some really good run in there, and in the opposite direction, Dame. I like that game a lot.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And I think it all rests on Tony Snell.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely buying what you're Snelling.
But yeah, you know, those games, I think by the time it's all said and done, they're going to have, you know, sub 5-point spreads, and they're going to be attractive games. So maybe right now we look at like Al-Farouq Aminu. Milwaukee has trouble rebounding. And he, you know, that's part of his game. So, you know, he's got double-double potential in this game as long as he gets, you know, solid minutes and they don't continue to go to Noah Vonleh for whatever reason, which kind of blew my mind. Like, I'm not going to go look at the game log, but I feel like I remember yesterday he had, like, 29 minutes or something.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. And then Jamichael Green has always got a little something in his back pocket, you know.
You on that too, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to do a dart throw, he's viable. Okay, a dart throw, like a GPP dart throw, if you're entering like a few lineups. Obviously, Nico Mirotić is a great value. Marquise Chris is a great value. But I'm not crazy with their matchups. You know, Nico draws Toronto, who's a pace down game with some good veteran defenders. And Chris is taking on Miami, and I don't like his chances of having a performance that he had against, say, Orlando this past week. You know, maybe Detroit blows out Brooklyn and John Lure gets some nice run off the bench. But, you know, honestly, Brooklyn has been playing better, like, as far as keeping the actual score close. They're still giving up a lot of production fantasy-wise because of their high pace and their turnovers. You know, and that adds up over the course of a game. But, you know, I don't know if Detroit's going to blow them out. So, you know, honestly, like right now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've got a viable locked in option at bargain power forward. There are some plays that, you know, are going to get minutes, but will they get the production? That's the question. So I don't know if you guys have anything.
I think that, you know, when you have two very viable grout power forwards, those are some of the most, you know, like comfortable positions that I feel like I would feel comfortable just being like James Johnson, Tobias Harris, done, you know, right, and move on, just because you know what you're going to get from them. And you know, if they, that they have a ceiling, you know, that they have a floor, you know, that they have minutes. You don't have to get cute. You know, maybe you get cute somewhere else. But those are two guys in good spots and they're well priced. So, you know, boom, lock it in.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go out and play, like, Sheik Diallo at 35? Like, yeah. I'm definitely not feeling the Sheik, but, you know, Tobias and James Johnson are almost stone cold lead locks of the night, yeah, so to speak.
Yeah. All right. Let's do our center roundtable here, gentlemen. We're each going to pick one center. I don't care about your price point, okay? Don't care about your price point. Take whoever you like, and then we'll move through everybody's favorite. And this is actually a really good slate for center. So I will start with my man Nurk Alert. at 6'7", he's at home. The pricing still hasn't caught up with him, just because he's had a couple, like, he had that one dud game against New Orleans, but it's going to turn around. He had two 41-point games back-to-back, Miami and Atlanta, which are, like, you know, kind of mediocre center matchups, but we know that the Milwaukee is a plus center matchup. Greg Monroe and what's his name? The skinny guy. John Henson, that's right.
Don't forget about Thon Maker.
Thon Maker, also skinny.
I love Thon Maker. He's the greatest player. Dude, he's also this side of Tony Snell.
Yeah.
He's definitely the maker of all the Thons.
That's right. The Thon, the Thon, Thon, Thon.
What a name. Sean, yeah, we haven't talked about the all NBA name list, and Thon Maker is like an all pro.
Yeah, I know. Because it's, you know why that is, Josh? Because it sounds like thong, right? Which is
thong, 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 maker.
Okay. All right. So Nurk Alert, 6'7". Dude, he's going to crush value here. I see at least 5X from him in this situation. You're only asking him to score 33 points here. That's a breeze. I mean, 33 points. That's an absolute breeze for the Nurkmeister in a plus matchup. You know, Portland still nipping at the heels at the bottom of the Western Conference here. Denver just lost tonight, so they have a little bit even more of an edge. They can get a nice win at home against Milwaukee, which, like, that's a competitive game, but that's a winnable game for them, right? At home especially. So I love the Nurk at 6'7 in this situation. Late hammer, last game of the night. You know, just, you know, he should be pretty chalky because people know that that's a good matchup for him. But I don't see any reason to go anywhere else in that tier unless you want to spend up. All right, yeah, Fern.
I love the Nurk. I love the Nurk. And you say, all right, Fern, I'm gonna use my seniority on the pod, and I'm gonna defer because I have a couple guys, and I don't want to take anybody's ideas away.
All right, that's cool. I'd be happy to defer to Scott.
I'm gonna defer to Scott.
I'd be happy to jump in and take me some DeAndre Jordan on the road at home. The Lakers are definitely not great against the center position. Looking at the last 10 games, they're giving up about an average of 54 points to the center, third worst in the NBA. That's FanDuel points. And, you know, I know it's the second night of a back-to-back, so I'm praying the minutes are there. But to me, it's just a juicy matchup. You know, CP3 lobbing it to DeAndre all day seems about right to me. And, you know, I'm definitely down with Nurk as well. Probably would have been number one overall pick. But if, you know, you got to twist my arm, I don't mind paying up here at center with the DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, that's a great call. And my only concern with DeAndre is what happens tonight. As we speak, we're 15 minutes after, I guess, the game started. Well, I don't know. Has it started yet? But, you know, I mean, pending any outstanding news, he's like going to freaking destroy them.
Well, and Josh, as you said, how effective is he going to be after he puts up a 48-point performance tonight against the New York Knicks and takes me to GPP glory? You know, I just don't know.
He's going to get 60 against the Lakers.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well,
I don't know. When's the last time he got 60? Like 2 years ago?
50 two nights ago.
Did he really? Yes, he did.
And plus, is Zubac really going to stop DeAndre? Like, I just don't look at Ivica and think, you know, you're definitely going to stop DeAndre.
You could put his picture in my yearbook and I would be like, oh, yeah, that's the kid. I knew that kid.
Yeah, dude, he is like, I'm still blown away. Like, the four of us are not like old men, but it blows me away to think that he was born when I was like playing Nintendo 64 at my friend's house after like school, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh my That's God. Insane.
And now he's in the NBA. Yeah. All right.
Now hold on a second. He did score 57 against the Sixers, so that's not really fair.
Come on, it counts.
Don't tell
the
me that.
The Sixers, though?
Yeah, and 47 against the Bucks, and that's
I
not
bet
really
Okafor is playing.
That's a good point. Friend of the pod, Rashawn Holmes, not playing. Right. I mean, not starting.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk. Ryan, who you got at center, man?
All right, I'm intrigued by I've been recently intrigued by almost anyone going up against Hassan Whiteside, which sits me again at Alan Williams.
Big sauce.
Yeah, he's very saucy. And I think that he's super tempting for me. I'm not really like, I mean, Towns is if you have the money and you're sucking up all the value like everywhere else, like, sure, go for that. I like Whiteside at the Suns too. I like Gasol has a good matchup history with the Pelicans. But primarily, I think my initial gut instinct was Alan Williams at Miami against Hassan Whiteside. That was my initial lock. And aside from that, a couple of the guys down in the lower tier that I have been kind of fumbling around with in GPPs, they've been giving, I believe you pronounce it Jakob Poeltl, more run recently for Toronto. So if they can get ahead there, he might get back on the floor again. I know they're kind of being a little more willy-nilly with who they give run late in the game. And I don't hate Aaron Baines at Brooklyn either. But those are the super deep dives. But as far as a solid guy, I'm pretty locked into Alan Williams at the Heat, and that would be my pick.
Right on. I like Alan Williams continues to be priced well, and I think it's a smart play. It can be the fact that Phoenix is pretty much giving the young guys the whole, you know, the run of the mill there, giving everybody, you know, an opportunity for the young fellows. So All right, let's look into Josh's plethora of picks here. Josh, how many you got for us?
Well, you guys hit on a few of them. There's two that are on my radar. The obvious one is Zubac. You know, like the Clippers, DVP-wise, have been getting beat by centers. But, you know, his ownership may or may not be, like, relatively high. And, you know, his ceiling, he hasn't demonstrated a ceiling yet. Like, he's had, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he had a 40-point game at some point recently. I'm looking real quick. Yeah, he had a 40-pointer at the Nuggets, but everything else has been in like the 20s. So, you know, he like Big Sauce, you know, he can go for 40 any night because he's just a different kind of player than Zubac is. So as tempting as Zubac is for his price and matchup, I'm going to go with Andre Drummond against Brooklyn. And here's the thing, like the spread right now on that game is 5 points. Detroit is a road favorite. And the over-under is 215. And if you look at the slate tomorrow, it is not a juicy slate for Vegas purposes. Everything seems to be in the two O's. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. You got, you know, LA, and that's 221. Milwaukee, Portland's 216. Haven't released a line yet on Phoenix, Miami, but everything else is in the two O's. But then you got Detroit and Brooklyn. Well, guys, Brooklyn, they are not very good
at all.
No, they're not very good at basketball. And yeah, they're keeping games close by pure grit. But they are getting beat by the center position on all time frames. Not horrifically beaten, okay? They're not Philadelphia 76ers quality, but they're getting beat on every time frame at an above average rate.
It's because they're not playing Quincy AC enough.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree. And I know, Ryan, that's your boy, Quincy AC. Beautiful beard. He has a fat guy's head, but a really fit body. Like, I don't understand that. Like, you look at him, and he looks like a Greek god, but his head.
Yeah, he's attractive, yeah.
I know. Like, from the neck down, like, give me a break, you know.
Aces.
Yeah. No, but from the neck up, he looks like Rick Ross, you know? Like, so it's kind of confusing and hurts my brain. But, yeah, no, seriously, though, like I do like Aaron Baines. That's a good call for, like, a GPP. But I feel like Drummond is in line for a solid, like, mid-40s kind of game. He's going to go, you know, he's going to be able to go off on that Brooklyn front court. And at that pace and the potential close game – and the fact that, and again, the fact that Detroit is in the 8th seed tied with Miami right now, and this is not the time for, you know, Milwaukee, Detroit, Miami to be fucking around much, you know, they got to win games because there's not much time left. So I like Drummond a lot.
All right. Nice. I like that call. Why not Andre Drummond? You know, and he's priced well. Honestly, that's like
under 8K.
Under 8K for Andre Drummond feels right. All right, Scott and Ryan, this is the part of the show where we are going to build a little quick lineup, a first draft, a rough draft. So I think what Josh and I have started to do is we've started to go down through each one of the positions and we lock in kind of our low priced, our favorite value guys, like the, like not the lowest that you would grow, but like, you know, the lower priced options that are there at that position. And then we discuss and debate where we want to spend up based on our weaknesses and our lineup. So, I'll start off, here and we'll go with, Reggie Jackson and, your boy JJ Barea. You know, those are two really well-priced guys who are getting really good run, would be comfortable with either of them in their matchups, really. You know, Barea has nice pace and Jackson has nice pace and an excellent DVP matchup. So good with either of those guys. Let's go over to shooting guard. Scott, what do you got? Or Ryan, what do you got?
All right. So do we want to do, are we doing like a full value line here? Are we doing like a build the line. You just went real low at
go, point go guard. Grout, go, you can go grout or bargain bin.
Okay, all right. So what I would do here then would be Seth Curry in the Curry versus Curry situation, and I can't not look at Wesley Matthews at 4,500. And those would be my two value picks at shooting guard.
Okay. I mean, do we trust KCP these days, by the
no.
way?
No. No, I can't. I cannot trust Kentavious at all. Like, he's good for an 11 spot from every now and then.
I mean, so. I want to, and I do have confidence in him at Brooklyn, but as far as, like, the guys that I trust to exceed value at this point, I trust Wesley Matthews at 4,500, who should be generally usually around 6K to exceed at that price point over KCP, who recently has just been kind of dudding left and right.
Hey, quick question. What is the opposite of a spirit animal?
A ghost.
Yeah, that's exactly
human. Okay. Yeah, Reggie Jackson is his ghost human.
Right.
Because when you look at those it's ghost human. When you look at those correlations, he is outstanding with Ish Smith and horrible with Reggie Jackson, which isn't a surprise because Reggie Jackson's a piece of shit. but Ish Smith, very underrated player. And yeah, so if Ish Smith can get on the court for an extended run, and who knows when it's an Ish Smith night, nobody knows, but they come and they're beautiful. But I'm never on him.
Never.
And when he's out there, KCP gets the ball. When Reggie's out there, he hyper focuses in on Drummond.
Yeah, and that's a good call. He does do that because he loves the pick and roll with Drummond. All right, let's do some small forwards, some value small forwards here. Where would be the kind of lower, the safest that you feel here, Scott?
Safest I feel, and if I'm stacking value guys, I'm going Ingram, RHJ. To me, Ingram, I'm playing pretty much no matter if I'm going up at the other position or at the other small forward spot. So, I'd kind of say lock in Ingram. But out of the rest of the guys, I mean, Evan Turner's not – I wouldn't say he's fully back yet. So he's not putting up consistent numbers. And, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, you're going to have Brooklyn, who has Brooke Lopez –
Quincy AC
going up against Drummond, so by saying Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I hope AC doesn't go off, unfortunately. But Detroit, I see RHJ, especially if he's playing power forward, doing just fine against Tobias.
Got it. So as Josh probably noted, we've locked in Tony Snell and Solomon Hill.
Yep. Oh my god.
Tony Snell just needs to be a friend of the pod just for his name / face.
Tony Snell is more like it.
You guys know The Wire, right?
Yeah.
He's Omar. He looks exactly like Omar.
Yeah, he does.
Just he's clean shaven and Omar has a little goatee
and a scar.
Oh my god, yes. Per Google. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, Fern, drop some power forwards in here for us, my friend.
Yeah, so I got to go to the grout, and I just got to lock in Jimbo and Toby.
Nice.
It took me a second to figure out what you were talking about, but I got it now.
At this time, I don't want to be disingenuous and go for anybody down low. I just don't see anybody that's super appeal. Like I could go Nico. I don't like that matchup with Toronto.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, and then at center we would go probably with the cheapest option that we discussed would be Zubac, but we don't really trust him, right? Because he's 14. So yep. is it the sauce man?
I like the big sauce.
I mean, if we're talking straight value, I'm feeling saucy, but, you know, I do got a fever for some Jusuf.
I love Jusuf Nurkić, and we do have a fever for Nurkić, so maybe we will go. We'll end up with Nurk. We'll strong arm that one. But sauce is always a good starting place. All right, where do we feel like we have a weakness in this lineup, Fern, that you would want to upgrade, man?
Well, okay, so let me just double check here. We have Seth and Wes at shooting guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you got to pick one of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I would go Wes over Seth all day, even though the Curry brother narrative. I mean, Seth Curry just has not been doing anything at all lately.
Yeah, that's a good call. He was on fire back in like early January. I think it was. Was it early January or early February? I can't remember. But there was a period where he was going for 30 plus.
Yeah, I think it was February.
It was late February, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're going to upgrade.
Real quick, I'm sorry, who are our point guards?
We're at Reggie Jackson, J.J. Barea right now. We can probably get some Goran in there maybe. But let's see. If we want to upgrade Seth Curry, where do we want to go up here? I mean, do we want a DeRozan? Do we want a Clay maybe? Or do we want
feel,
to just...
feel free, Ryan. You're the shooting guard expert.
All right. If we're gonna jump up,
we could jump down, I guess, if we want. I don't know, man. You're calling.
Let me see. All right. What I would do is okay. It depends. First of all, if we're building a GPP line, I would probably. I'm all aboard the Frazier Mobile. That's just a thing that he just was ridiculous early on, and I can't ignore that. But if we were going to jump up from Curry or Wes Matthews, I would probably jump to DeRozan from Curry. It's honestly, what do you guys think? Do you guys think you'd rather jump from Curry or jump from Wes Matthews?
I don't know. I think you're right about I think you might be right about Tim Frazier. If there's one spot you attack Memphis, it's at the wings, you know, and he seems to have earned that two spot. 23 minutes isn't anything to really brag about, but you know,
he's a productive bastard.
But Jordan Crawford is like killing value. Every
and then Solomon Hill comes over and doesn't help either.
I know.
What if we just go straight up DVP and we target the Lakers here with JJ or Jamal?
Yeah, that's not a bad call.
Yeah, that works for me.
Now we're obviously going to be moving on up potentially, but if we are like kind of reallocating resources here, that makes sense.
All right. So that works. Let's upgrade. Let's upgrade some of these small forwards here. Which one? Who do we want to stick with, and who do we want to upgrade?
Well, me personally, I would probably stick with Ingram over RHJ. They're the same cost, and I just feel that since you have Booker coming back, even though the minutes may be not that great. You still have him eating into RHJ's time, and I feel Ingram in the Battle of L.A. will hold it down. And if I was going to jump up somewhere and not go up to the tippy top of Kawhi, you know, I'm throwing in T.J. Warren, taking my 20 points, maybe a 40 spot, and be happy with it.
Okay, I can do that. All right, let's throw T.J. Warren in there. Fern, we don't want to upgrade power forward at all. We're good.
No, I don't want to upgrade power forward. But I will say that as far as point guard goes, we definitely got to do some work there.
I know. I was just thinking, can we just throw Nurk in there, please?
Well, yeah. We have Nurk, don't we?
Well, we had Sauce to start, but we agreed that Nurk was the better play. All right, Nurk's in there now. Okay.
So can I suggest that I am, if we are trying to pay down at point guard, I'm kind of liking Jordan Clarkson a little bit. You know, as everybody knows, he's the starting shooting guard for the Lakers. And, you know, it's a pretty, like, it's a pretty appealing matchup. I mean, it's kind of a neutral DVP matchup, but you know, as far as pace goes and you know, just a recent context, like he seems like he's pretty safe for like 28 to 32 points.
Okay. Yeah, Clarkson.
So just something to keep in mind if you want to save at point guard and have some safety, like perhaps in a cash game.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, I think with the current line of construction where we have, you know, Wesley Matthews, Ingram, Tobias, all under 55, like putting it in the FanDuel machine, we're sitting at 10.5K for the two spots left that we don't have filled. So that pretty much means we can pick whoever we want from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Let's figure out who we want to be a stud. Do we want to get ourselves into some Goran Dragic or some Mike Conley here? And which one?
I would definitely like I'm full Dragic here as far as the situation goes, just based purely on the matchup and the fact that there's a good history here. And I know I never like to rely on just the last meeting of you know, a team versus a team, but I just pulled up, I clicked Mike Conley real quick and 33 minutes last time at New Orleans, 23.4 FanDuel points. So I hesitate more there than I do with playing anyone at the Suns ever. It's just like you remember the Bradley Beal is like a warm sweatpants thing. It's like kind of like playing anyone at the Suns is like sweatpants. That's like, that's sort of sat with me, and that's how I feel about playing a lot of the Heat guys at the Sun. The Suns tonight.
Well, it is at Miami, just for reference. So
I know I say at. I don't mean at. I just mean like against.
Roger.
So who do we want to play? What from a stud perspective? Who do you guys think? I mean, is a viable stud on this slate? Or are we just going to stack up 8K guys and move on?
I mean, I feel like with center, you're kind of. Look, power forward, I feel like James Johnson and Tobias Harris are super safe and have good upside. And Nurkic, you know, I mean, for Christ's sake, the man scored 77 fucking points. Like, he can get you 40. Right. So those three guys right there can combine for over 100 points, potentially 120 points. So let's just leave our front court alone. Right. As far as small forward goes, I do like that duo of Warren and Ingram a lot. Those two are kind of like stalwarts with a lot of my lines the last like month or so. So I feel really good about those two. So I'm looking at our guards. Like, I feel like guards, we gotta figure something out here.
Yeah, either that or, you know, Kawhi Leonard. Again, I don't know why I think he's going to not be highly owned, but I think it's because there's so much value going around at the small forward position. You got a lot of guys at around the 6-5K range that might overshadow him. But, I mean, if he's higher owned, I don't love him as much. But with the amount of money left on this particular line, he might not be a bad option.
Well,
but
if we put him in over Warren and leave Ingram down there, then we've got quite a bit of money left over.
All right, so we've got 10-5 here, and we have an opportunity to spend up in the mid-tier for another shooting guard and then spend up into the mid-tier for another point guard in this spot. So we could go with Mike Conley, we could go with Rubio, we could stay on Reggie Jackson as a really solid value, and then maybe we could upgrade both of our shooting guards, or we could upgrade our small forward spot. You know, maybe we go Leonard and Warren, or we go Leonard and Butler, or maybe we just upgrade both of our shooting guards to, you know, maybe, I don't know, like...
I don't think McCollum has been mentioned much of at all, which also makes me think he might be low-owned, and, you know, I cannot think of Schmeagol from Lord of the Rings just doing, like, McCollum, McCollum, you know? And it just... It's just he might not be a bad play in a GPP with low ownership.
All right. I'll tell you guys what I just quickly clicked through here while I was fumbling around with the guard positions. So I left Warren and James Johnson, Tobias and Nurkic, and I just ditched Curry. And so let's say the Curry narrative pays off more for Steph, as I hope it does. Steph, 9,900, still under 10K. I click the A plus button on Steph. Leave JJ Barea there. I bumped Seth Curry to DeRozan and bumped Wesley Matthews to Klay Thompson, who today played for not that long, 32 minutes, 47.2 FanDuel points in 32 minutes. So he could be on sort of like a tear at the moment. Something that I'm interested to see how it plays out tomorrow. So on my screen right now, I have $100 left. And it's Steph Barea, DeRozan, Clay, Ingram and Warren, Dr. James Johnson, Tobias Harris, and Nurk. And that feels very nice in my pants.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I'd be interested to see. The other thing we have to remember is that Dallas struggles with three-point shooters. So they do not protect the perimeter very well. So we could really, really easily see Golden State exploit that and just fire away where you want to be on Steph. So I think that's a really good starting point. We'll run that back for you guys here. You know, Steph at Dallas, JJ at Dallas, or in the Golden State Dallas game, DeRozan kind of is a regression candidate. Klay Thompson here, just on a hot streak. Brandon Ingram priced well, getting 35 minutes. TJ Warren filling in. We also forgot to mention Warren getting the usage bump if Devin Booker sits out. So we like TJ Warren here. James Johnson at Phoenix, locking him in with no waiters. Tobias Harris going to Brooklyn, and Nurk getting the absolutely terrible Milwaukee front court. Feels really solid all the way through. You know, we're not really punting any positions. These are all starters here. So a pretty balanced lineup. This is not a slate that lends itself to locking in, you know, a 10K plus player and then trying to build around it with value guys. So I think this is an interesting slate to build on. Probably GPP viable given the fact that we don't have a lot of really high-priced studs, which is going to lead it to, you know, like value chalk where everywhere else like it was tonight, you know?
Yeah, this line is like kind of making my synapses fire right now. Wait, is that right? Synapses? Do synapses fire? Is that what it is?
Synapses is one of my favorite words.
Yeah, me too.
Especially when pluralized.
Yeah, my sinai.
All right, so that's it for us. Hey, Kingsguard and Spectre, where can people find you guys on Twitter?
All right, yeah, you can find me at DFS Spectre. That's the both S's are involved, DFS Spectre. And I don't do much aside from I really just love doing this in my free time. I'm not a provider. I don't want your money. Just have fun with me. Have fun with us. It's fun and it's a relaxing, enjoyable activity that I love doing every single day, despite having a full time job and neglecting it probably a little too much for the sake of doing this. But I will look forward to hearing from some of you guys. And I thank you, Sean and Josh, for having us on. And we've been loving the hell out of working with you guys, and look forward to talking with you more in the future. And the cheat sheets are awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Thank you.
KG Kingsguard, where can people find you, man?
You can find me at DFS Kingsguard, all one word squished together. You know, who doesn't like Game of Thrones? But as Ryan said, you know, I've been a basketball fan my whole life, just watching and knowing I love the sport. Wasn't really till kind of this past year when I got like Ryan into DFS sports and football season was over. And it was like, what do we have left to do here? And then the NBA was sitting there and it's just been a blast. You know, me and Spectre, longtime college friends. And I believe Sean and Fern, you guys are friends too. So it's kind of just a great thing to do with some friends, look for some tweets, try to get out the late breaking news. And to me, it's kind of like I like being in the no shark zone. Like, we're all just a bunch of guys trying to help each other win a little bit of side cash on some FanDuel or DraftKings.
Side hustle, man. Side hustle. Yes, and sir. Fern, we know where to find you at Josh Fern. Professor Fern, always here on the microphone. Hey, Fern, tell people about the cheat sheet, because you're posting it pretty regularly and helping us keep that thing live.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah, the cheat sheet is pretty sweet. You know, we're doing it on a Google Doc. And as many of you probably know, you can work collaboratively on Google Docs. So as long as you're logged into your Google account, you and your coworkers or whomever can work together on a Google Doc. So the four of us are, you know, each day I just start a new cheat sheet document, and the four of us just go to town. And from like morning until lineup lock, you know, hopefully a little bit before, we're kind of locked in, you know, and finalized. But yeah, we just edit it throughout the day, and we've been getting a lot of great feedback. And, you know, the four of us can attest to it. Like, sometimes we're our own worst enemies and we give amazing advice and don't follow the advice. And so we've been told that, you know, over the past few days when it was free, we've helped some people out pretty good. So yeah, you know, like, just check it out. Sean explained it on the Monday episode of Lineup Logic, and you need to re-listen to that if you want the longer explanation. But by all means, guys, like, you know, Ryan and Scott said it best. Like, we're just regular guys. You know, we're not pros. I mean, we definitely take this as a super serious hobby, but we just have fun with it. We're not going to sit there and brag about ourselves on Twitter and act like assholes, like, in the sense of, like, you know, we think we're better than everybody, or we're, like, taking this so seriously that it's, we're forgetting that it's a game, that we have fun with it. Like, we're just regular dudes just like you, and we want to have fun, and we want to provide you with a service that benefits you. And anything you can do to help us, you know, just kind of just break even. Like, we just want to break even, you know, and any profit we can make just as a tip, you know, just a little, like, thank you for doing what you do, that's gold. But if we just break even, life is good. So check out the Patreon page, become a patron of Lineup Logic, and, you know, anything you do to help us out, we are eternally grateful. And yeah, like, that's all I got to say about that. Like, thank you guys so much for your support. It's been amazing. And yeah. Ryan and Scott, you guys fucking rock. Like, you guys are awesome. And the four of us, you know, come baseball season and then football season and the next basketball season, gentlemen, the possibilities are endless. We're going to kick this fucking thing's ass hardcore.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep it rolling. You know, it's kind of, as I mentioned to you, it's kind of always been like a goal slash dream to get involved in the DFS community and talk on a podcast, which, hey, look what I'm doing. But, you know, you guys have been great to work with, and, you know, I've supported other podcasts before and contributed on Patreon to those podcasts, and kind of the community that, you know, Lineup Logic here has gotten built is awesome, and is, you know, it's worth every penny.
Thank you, guys. Hey, guys, good luck in your contest. Feel free to hit any of us up on Twitter for any questions as you go into the Tuesday slate. And we'll see you tomorrow.